Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, welcome, America, and welcome, world, to Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. I've got so much to fit in today, I don't even know where to start. But I have some math. Yeah. I have some Bible. Yeah. We're going to bring these things together. I've been up since last night, 2:30. I woke up at 2:30. I went and began researching FBI crime statistics. Yeah, that's right. That's what kind of life I lead, huh? I'm looking at FBI crime statistics at 2:30 in the morning because I woke up kind of possessed with a need to get down to the bottom of some things, get it right, and share it. But first of all, I want to let you know, if you want to reach me, you may, info@redskyradio.net. Sorry, I'm going to force you to use mail or email. Don't do Twitter. Don't do Facebook. Don't do Instagram. Not doing any of that crapola. I'm not doing that stuff. You look at the people running the thing and how everybody that runs those things hate Christians. I'm just not going there. Okay. I promise I'm going to start with good news. I'm going to end with enlightenment, which should be good news. Knowledge from Scripture. Scripture, I think Scripture has is good news, even if it seems like bad news when we're reading it, right? Because God wants us to know what's going to happen, what is happening, why it's happening. Besides getting saved, that's really what the word is about. Good news. I have lauded a couple of states over the years, one of them being at the top or very near the top, as a superb state, as a state of Tennessee. This state has done it again. They have passed in the state house, and it's going to go to their state senate, a resolution to becoming a Second Amendment sanctuary state. Now, we've had a few Second Amendment sanctuary cities, which sort of do nothing. They just declare that because they can't override the state. We have our first state close to becoming a Second Amendment sanctuary state. And this is huge. I knew Tennessee could do it. They said here that we want to extend a safe harbor to other United States citizens whose constitutional rights are being violated by elected officials. It also affirms that citizens have a right to maintain arms equivalent to those of their government's basic infantry unit. The bill includes language that says that the individual's right to own semi-automatic AR-15s, AK-47s, and similar firearms in order for one to execute their God-given right to oppose government tyranny. Now, I think they've been listening to Red Sky Radio for 13 or 14 years. I have been saying this forever, that the right of Americans to keep and bear arms rises to the level of being commensurate with what the civil authorities and the military has, at least at its basic disposal. I'm not talking about rocket-propelled grenade launchers. I'm not trying to make a case for RPGs here. But AR-15s, AK-47s, absolutely yes. I mean, how many times in the last year have I said the right to the Second Amendment is for, it is not to duck hunt? That was understood. It was not to defend yourself and your property. That was understood. That was so easily understood that it did not need any further point of clarification in the Constitution. It was there for the states to be able to defend themselves against government tyranny. Read the Second Amendment. That's what it's for. It so clearly points to the right of a state to be able to defend itself against government tyranny. And how? Not with pea shooters, not with flintlock muskets, not with the weapons of the day when it was drafted. No, the citizens of a state don't get stuck with the weapons of 1789, while the federal government gets to go on and march through all the evolution of technology when we get down to all the kind of firearms that police and the military have. No, that's not it at all. It never was the intent. This exactly states what I've been saying and exactly what the Constitution says. It is for a state to be able to defend itself. God bless you, Tennesseans. You got it, man. Now, a Democratic Tennessee rep, a black guy, Hardaway, he's a Democrat, opposed this. He says, I am going to encourage my black constituents to arm themselves. Well, this is kind of interesting because that's why we have the 14th Amendment. That's why we had the McDonald versus City of Chicago case, was because the Fourth Amendment in part was designed to ensure that all citizens, and it was primarily focusing on blacks, had all the rights at the state level that they had at the federal level, that the Bill of Rights applied to the states, which included the Second Amendment, which various states in the Old South were depriving blacks of the right to own guns. Yeah, you can vote, but you can't own a gun. No pun intended, but the McDonald case blew all of that right out of the water. So it's interesting. This Democratic rep from Tennessee says, I oppose the resolution, but I need to encourage my black constituents to arm themselves. Doggone right you do. Doggone right. And we're going to get to more of that. Gosh, I wish I had 4 hours for this program. But I want to just give a few overview. I had so many COVID-related things to cover until this last week, which I don't know if I'll get to or not because it may be done and over. And you'll hear in this program why it may be done and over. There might be a silver lining in all the violence and everything that's happening. But my concern is, obviously, you know, the left has stirred up all the violence. We know that. I mean, there's been nothing but violent images, statements, declarations against Trump, against Republicans, increasingly against Christians. The left has done nothing but race bait, foment racial division, spewing out vitriol in their speech, their hatred, their violence. And there is a party who bears some responsibility here. And his name is Barack Hussein Obama. And why? Because there was never a racial issue that came up in his 8 years that he didn't jump to conclusions and take the side of the black side of that issue without learning the facts, without knowing what really went on behind. But you know what? He knew he could shoot his big fat mouth off and would never be called to count because the media were carrying water for him. I'll never forget that meeting that Juan Williams, I don't know if he's still on Fox News or not. I hope not. That he and a bunch of other reporters got called into a special meeting with Barack Obama. Yeah, he called a bunch of reporters in, and when they came out, all the reporters were sworn to silence. What kind of journalism is that? It's a journalism call when you got a little dictator, Barack, baby. He's got them in his pocket. They aren't gonna expose anything he does wrong. He fanned the flames. Did he do anything to tone down the Trayvon Martin thing, the Michael Brown thing in St. Louis? No, he didn't do anything. He wants to see America burn. Who's a jackass in chief. Yeah, pretty strong, huh? Because it fits so. Now, this whole thing about Trump using the military. This is just kind of an overview. I'm going to get down to the specifics in a few minutes. About using the military, which he didn't. But the police and maybe some security personnel to clear the way to the church, the Saint, what was it, Saint John's Church, the Episcopal Church in Washington D.C. that he walked to after he gave the speech. So he takes the walk, and do they clear out the way? Yeah, they clear it out, not with bullets and everything, and like the left is saying, that was absolute nonsense on their part, but. They are about nonsense. Actually, it's much worse than that. I'm being kind. They're saying they were trampling on people's rights. They plan to have some lunatic congressman from Georgia saying that they're going to really get into an investigation on how Trump has shredded the Constitution with his walk from the Rose Garden to the church. They're outraged at having him clear a path to the St. John's Church. And then they're outraged because he held up a Bible. This is the Episcopal Church. And you know what? I couldn't give a rip about Episcopal churches other than this one. And I only give a rip about it because it's of historical importance. Understand that yeah, there is the Episcopalians are upset at Trump coming over there and holding up a Bible. Partly because most Episcopalians just didn't really recognize what the book was he was holding up. I mean, they wouldn't recognize a Bible in a Christian bookstore, so they're upset. What is this book he's holding up? And I only exaggerate a little bit. The Episcopal Church is in swamp water. But let's back up. When I was in New York City a number of years ago, my last time I was there, and frankly, I sort of hope it is my last time, period. I don't have any desire to go to the state of New York, and especially in that cesspool, rotten hellhole called New York City. You can talk about all the shopping, the shows, and all that crapola. I couldn't give a rat's rear end about it. But guess what? When I was there, Billy Clinton came there just to see a play on Broadway. Our traffic was stopped. We had to clear out of the way. We had to make a big path and get out of the way for President Clinton. Barack Obama's gone everywhere, travels just as much as Trump does, except that he also travels with his extra guards, his barber, his chefs, the entourage, because it's good to be king. Everybody clears out of the way of the president. If they don't, they clear those people out. This is nothing different than any Democratic predecessor of President Trump. The service is done. When he's going someplace, they have to clear the area. The protesters don't have any more First Amendment right to be in that space than I had having to get out of the way of Billy Clinton to see a play. They say, well, they're protesting. Well, protesting isn't more of a First Amendment right than for me to be where I was in New York City. I've got just as much freedom. But I was moved out of the way. Everybody got moved out of the way from Brock. So this is just a bunch of hooey. Are we that stupid? Yeah, we are getting more stupid, actually. We are getting dumbed down. One brief comment about George Floyd's death here, and we're going to, you know, the video is pretty alarming. We're going to cover more of it. But the only thing I can say about this, and take me in the right spirit here, is this is what it takes, apparently, for Democrats to not declare something a COVID-19 death. If it had just been anybody else that got shot, been a white guy got shot, it would have been a COVID death. There have been multiple fatalities from shooting that have been listed as COVID deaths. But not apparently, not George Floyd. And of course it wasn't. I'm just pointing out the hypocrisy of the left here. Injustice, of course it is. There's all kinds of injustice. That's the world we live in. We live in a fallen world. Does it excuse it? No. But how do you deal with it? Yeah, it maybe involved his life. It sounded like it did. From the one autopsy, there's a battle of the autopsies here. But is it injustice for looters to just bash in the stores that are just now trying to recover from a COVID-19 thing where they're barely hanging on, and now they get trashed? And like the one looter, I could not believe this. They caught this kid saying to the store owner, "Why are you having a problem with me looting your store?" Seriously. That's what he said. Is that an injustice? Absolutely, many times over. The Sacramento Kings, forgot his announcer, the name. He just tweeted, "All lives matter." That's all he did was tweet, "All lives matter." Is it a falsehood? No. Is it insensitive? No. Because we got, what, 5 policemen that have been seriously wounded? We got the death of the retired policeman, which I'll get to in a minute. All lives do matter. And what happened to the Sacramento Kings announcer? He's just fired. He tweets a true tweet, "All lives matter," and he's fired. Is this the ridiculously stupid world we live in? Yeah, it is. Justice is being redefined. There is something we'll call justice for some people and injustice for others. Now, before I go any further, I want to draw your attention to a video I want you to see. Billy, my Las Vegas bureau chief, for Red Sky Radio. Billy sent me a piece on YouTube by a black man by the name of, it goes by Officer Tatum, but the video is entitled, "David Dorn Was the End for Me." Write that down. David Dorn, D-O-R-N. Was the end for me. Now he's up to over 100,000 views, but we got 300,000 listeners. I want you to go watch. It's only 10 minutes. It is so well stated. Tatum is a black man. And he said the end of all of this Black Lives Matter crapola, Antifa, the looting, which is primarily by blacks. Let's just face the facts. He said, "I've had it," because David Dorn was a decorated 30-year-old retired policeman, a black man, who showed up when the alarm went off at a pawn shop that apparently he had some obligation to attempt to defend. So no good deed goes unpunished. So when he gets there, he is savagely murdered. He's slain. Where is the injustice there being called out? Nowhere. So somehow the death of George Floyd gives everybody the right to loot and to kill and to attack. And the police officer have been stabbed, or the one that got slashed in the neck, who I think is still alive. All of that's justifiable? I don't think so. I don't think so. Don't go away. Just don't go away. I got so much more. We'll be right back. Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio.
Hi, this is Rob Walter. As a California lawyer, I help clients escape the clutches of the California taxing authorities when they sell their highly appreciated investment property, rentals, farmland, commercial real estate, or any other real estate for which California will sock you. What we do is help replace clients' California real estate with high-quality, income-producing real estate in other states through tax-free exchanges. My clients want out of California but want to take 100% of their hard-earned assets with them. Often, you will see a meaningful increase in income from replacement properties outside of California. We do it for our clients, and I've done it for myself. Normally, the properties we recommend will require little, if any, personal oversight. Of course, if you establish residency outside of California or have already left the left coast, it gets even better. With lower taxes, higher income, and Jerry Brown in your rearview mirror, you'll see the advantage of moving your real estate assets out of California. And the cost to you of my services? Dead zero. Contact me today at info@redskyradio.net. That's info@redskyradio.net.
Okay, one quick correction. I forgot to change this ad from Jerry Brown to Gavin Newsom. Same thing, only worse. Gavin is worse than Jerry Brown. Let me just point out that fact. This is what we're doing. We're helping people escape the communazi state of California. Okay, I just want to mention this again here about David Dorn was the end for me. That's the name of the YouTube video. Go watch it. Thank you, Billy, for that piece. You do a great job. I'm going to double your pay. Okay. Florida sheriff says he's recommending, I guess this is good news, actually, that homeowners blow looters back out of the house with their guns. That's right. He said he's warned would-be looters and home intruders this last week by encouraging residents to fire upon anyone attempting to pillage their homes. He said, quote, the people in Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns. And he said, if you try to break into their homes to steal, to set fires, to damage them, hurt them, of course, I'm highly recommending they blow you back out of the house with their guns. End quote. People say, oh, this is just too much. Folks, the police are not here to protect us anymore. In fact, there was a 1991 case, can't even think of it right now, where it says that is not the job of the police to protect you. The police got sued because it didn't protect somebody. That's not their job. The police, sadly, most of the time are just the cleanup committee. And they're not there to protect property because they're all just standing around watching all the looters riot, trash, and burn all this property around the country. What do they think? Donald Trump is going to make up for it with another stimulus check? They're not there. They're just standing there watching it. The only ones who are going to defend you, your spouse, your family, your property are you. This looting garbage has never underscored more importantly the necessity of owning a firearm, combined with the Democrat governors who hate guns, except for the ones that are guarding their sorry tushes, like their wicked witch of the Midwest, Gretchen Whitmer. No. You see, there's nothing racist about wanting to shoot the looters and those that are burning things. Nothing at all. And here's why. Here's fact number one for the day. The great bulk of the looters are black. The great bulk of Antifa is white. They're white. There's these little punk cowards, all dressed up in black. And of course, they complete the ensemble with a black face mask. Yeah, this is Antifa riding the crest of the face mask fashion wave way before COVID-19. Because these little white weenies don't have the guts to be unmasked. So, what would happen if they came in to do me harm? I am an equal opportunity shooter. If my life is threatened and they come storming in the door, white, black, I don't care what color, they're going down. And I don't care what color the person is who's in the house. I don't care if you're black, brown, white, whatever it is. And you got blacks or whites or Antifa coming to destroy your property and they're coming in, they're going to damage you. You take them down. It's good to live in a state that has the castle doctrine. Just saying, because a lot of states don't. The left-wing governors are drunk on power. So let me quote something from Whistleblower magazine here. I subscribe to Whistleblower, great magazine. Quote, listen to this. We will arrest you and we will take you to jail, period. We're not playing games, said Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot to city residents attending parties in violation of her stay-at-home orders. Meanwhile, Lightfoot managed to slip out and get her hair done while shutting down all of Chicago's hair salons for everyone else, later explaining, quote, "I take my personal hygiene very seriously," end quote. Yeah, Lori, well, so do we, you Democratic dip. Then, of course, you had the Dallas judge, Eric Moyer, sentence the salon owner, Shelley Luther, to 7 days in jail for daring to open her business. Ventura County, California Health Director Robert Levin announced his department would forcibly remove COVID-infected people from their own homes and put them into other kinds of housing that we have available. And, of course, you got the wicked witch of the Midwest, Wretched Whitmer, ordering that, quote, all public and private gatherings of any size, end quote, are prohibited. So we have this dictator phenomenon, as World Net Daily calls it. It's correct. They are dictators. They're just punks in pantsuits and suits, enjoying the it's good to be king privilege of breathing these threatenings and executive orders from all parts of their body, emanating upon the public, which has to sit there and take it. But they don't do anything about the riots. Not a doggone thing. The left are dictators until the left is rioting, and now all of a sudden, they're okay. There is no COVID problem anymore, except with AOC, the stuck-on-stupid woman from New York, who is strongly encouraging rioters to practice social distancing. Well, I'll tell you what, rioters and looters, black, white, I don't care, Antifa, whatever, why don't you practice some distancing from the stores that you're burning down in your own neighborhood? Do you think the media showed the optics of all the blacks? I forgot what city it was. Up on their roof, it had to be a Midwestern city because they had AR-15s. Blacks up on the roof guarding their own businesses. Well, God bless those guys for being up there. The only ones that saved their buildings in the Rodney King riots were the Koreans. They were up on the roofs with their guns, protecting their property, which they have the right to do. Nobody has a right to just come and trash your property. And you got to sit there and watch it like the police are sitting there watching it. You see, to the left, all the protesters protesting the lockdowns and the president were fascists. But then when Trump, deferring greatly to these Nimrodic governors to take care of their own states, and because they aren't, because they want their states to burn down, they do. Because they think, like Bill Maher, hey, you know, if we have to wreck the economy to get Trump out of office, let the economy be shredded. That's a self-serving whack job that Bill Maher is. These governors are no different. If this is what it takes to get Trump out of office and make him look bad, let our cities burn. We're not going to enforce the COVID crapola on our left-wing brethren who are doing all the damage. But Trump has deferred greatly to these governors, giving them the chance to do the right thing. And they don't do anything. And you know what, by the way? Well, the riots aren't over, as far as I know here, as of this date, Friday, June 5th. Trump just simply stating that he might bring in the military has actually caused some toning down. Police haven't done anything differently. The National Guard are not there to do anything but make a presence. The National Guard actually don't guard a doggone thing. I was in the National Guard. I will never forget the riots in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I'd get called in. I've shared this before. Make sure that my M16 is working well. Put on the gas mask. We're in training. Do we have to go out? Because I hope not, because I knew there were going to be a couple of fraternity brothers in that crowd. I could see them, but they couldn't recognize me. I knew where they were, but then they knew I was in that crowd. Fortunately, that never came down to that. But times have changed. National Guard don't guard a doggone thing. And I have to say, I have a bone to pick with Tucker Carlson on this thing. Tucker Carlson, while I greatly appreciate him most of the time, he was flat out wrong by shredding the Republicans and particularly Trump for not moving fast enough. Yes, we do have a couple of instances where the president has brought in federal armed personnel, federal assets, as the military likes to call them, to quell a situation. But it's been rare. JFK brought in federal troops down in Alabama. What was that, 1961 or 62? And I think Dwight Eisenhower brought them in once. It's very rare. The whole point of our federalist system is not for the feds to rule. Federalism means that the states get to do their own thing up to a certain point. And if the states don't do it, and it's serious enough, then the federal government comes in. It's restraint by Trump. And yet he's called the fascist by the governors who are behaving and who are the real fascists. The ones who lock down, shut down everything, who are open, they might as well be members of the SS, secretly destroying the property of the state so that they can rise further to the power and make sure that Hitler is firmly entrenched. And yet calling the one who has restraint a fascist. Trump was right to restrain. At some point, he's right to bring them in. But he wants to let the states work it out to the point that they can. Oh, the hypocrisy. You remember, do you know what Barack Obama was doing? When Michelle Obama, literally, on the same day Michelle Obama was recording a robocall, encouraging all D.C. residents to stay home except if you need essential health care or essential food or supplies. He was 40 miles away golfing. There's a photograph of him golfing on the day she's telling everybody to stay home. Well, I got to move on here. I am getting bogged down. Excuse me. I am getting worked up here. I want to read something by a great writer by the name of Mr. Noldy, writing for Breitbart News. And he said that we should thank the rioters for exposing lockdowns as purely political. He said the establishment media and Democrats are encouraging Americans to go out and riot, which proves the coronavirus lockdowns are purely political. You can't social distance when you protest. So now we know that these lockdowns and all this crap, these are his words, but I'd say the same thing, about social distancing was a lie. Because what you have here are the media encouraging their own viewers to riot and protest, and the Democrats encouraging their own voters to riot and protest. And I think it's safe to assume that if the media and the Democrats believed the coronavirus would kill their viewers and voters, they would not encourage such a thing. Here's an example. The hideous Gretchen Whitmer, the hideous Democrat governor of Michigan, spent weeks gleefully punishing her own constituents for the sins of what? Going to church, buying garden seeds, getting a haircut, and holding house parties. Anyone who dared ignore Gretchen's outlawing of the very things that make life worth living were harassed, fined, arrested, and basically terrorized by the state. All in the name of the threat of the coronavirus. God help those who dared protest her tyranny. God help those protesters who she shamed, blamed, and used to extend her anti-science lockdowns. Now, I'm going to insert something here into this quote. It just came out a few minutes here before I got on the air. That they tracked the phone data for the 400 protesters that were at the Capitol in Michigan when they were protesting the lockdown. They did. They tracked the phone data. Has Gretchen, baby? Has she done that? Have they done that for the rioters, for the protesters in Lansing? Are they tracking that phone data? Of course not. The Wicked Witch of the West is bent on her corruption of a once great state. Continuing the quote, well, you look at hideous Gretchen now. Suddenly large gatherings in the coronavirus, there's no real problem in Michigan. Hey, how else to explain why the hideous Gretchen all of a sudden turned around to support large gatherings, of course, unless you're going to church. So we can at least thank the rioters for exposing the hideous Gretchen for the tyrant she really is. What's more, After the rioters encouraged her to come out in favor of large gatherings, Gretchen's entire rationale for lockdowns collapsed to a point where she finally surrendered this week and put an end to them. Thank you, rioters. And then he goes on to cite Kamala Harris. So she led by example to prove lockdowns and social distancing were purely political by taking to the streets. There she was, the walking, talking, and not very bright piece of proof that America's political class knows these lockdowns are a joke. She is protesting outside the White House on Saturday with a large group of people who are definitely not practicing social distancing. Once again, let's thank the rioters for exposing the truth. Now, I want to say something here. Is there a silver lining in this? If the coronavirus thing has collapsed because the Democrat governors, the Democrat candidates for president, just Democrats generally, don't want to enforce it in the context of rioting and protests, how can you say we have a continued need for the cheat by mail voting system that they're proposing? You can't. Now, hypocrisy, lying, deceit, treachery, those are just tools of the trade of Antifa and all of that stuff. But I'd like to think and hope to think Americans are bright enough to realize, hey, wait a minute, why do we have to vote by mail? Because it's going to be more dangerous in 5 months for us to vote by mail than it is to be hanging out together in the streets rioting and protesting here in June. Well, if you're a Democrat, you probably think that makes sense because Democrats have no brains, no cojones, and no morals. One of the three, but I'm not suggesting that they're mutually exclusive. So what does this amount to? I mean, what are the consequences of some of these things? Well, I'll tell you, I was almost moved to tears by the chief of police of Richmond, Virginia, who was moved to tears because of a home the rioters there set fire to a home. The home had a child in it. You see why when they come up and they're going to set fire to your home, you need to just drop those suckers, black, white, Antifa, whatever. I don't care. You drop them. You protect your own. William Smith, who had recounted the burning of an occupied building by protesters who then blocked the fire department from access while the child was inside. So the looters, who now are involved in actually, what, second-degree murder, negligent homicide, voluntary manslaughter, they have to know people are in the building that they're setting fire to. Why don't they get the same treatment that the guy who kneed George Floyd? Instead, and this is sick, this is so ridiculously sick, in St. Louis, what do? They let it go. All the rioters, arsonists, and looters in St. Louis are freed from jail without charges. They all got to get out of jail free card. But back to Richmond, Virginia. He said, quote, last night, protesters intentionally set fire to an occupied building on West Broad Street. This is not the only occupied building that has been set fire to in the last 2 days. But then they prohibited us from getting to the scene. The protesters intercepted the fire apparatus several blocks away with vehicles and blocked the fire department's access to the structure fire. You know what? If they're doing this, if this is Antifa, these aren't protesters. These are anarchists. If they are blocking the fire department, let's have the fire truck just run over their sorry tushes to get to somebody whose life is worth saving. If Antifa is doing this under due cause, then I think we should just have an Antifa season that follows right on the heels of deer season. You know, these riots are so planned. They're so, I don't think, I'm just going to throw something out here. I think that most of the black looters have been pawns by the primarily white Antifa and the George Soros crowd that funds it. We know they're professional. You know the Michael Brown riot in Missouri, right? All that problem. Well, do you remember when some of the protesters, alleged protesters, I'm using the word loosely, were complaining that they didn't get paid? And the two protesters that got hurt in their own riot, there were two of them that posited the question, why aren't we getting workers' compensation? Think, Selah. Think about that. We'll be right back. Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio. Don't go away.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358.
This is Rob Walter. We are back with Red Sky Radio. I cut out the music so I'd have more time to talk. This is so nuts. Okay, so the Minneapolis Police Department vows to, quote, dismantle the police department. Los Angeles is vowing to cut $150 million from the LAPD. Punishment, spanking. Let's, for the guy, for what the officers did in Minneapolis, let's spank the police in Los Angeles. There is a move by Democrats, and they are Democrats, so full of evil and perversion, to reduce the police department's size, scope of activity all over the United States. This is nothing but anarchy. You better be armed, because you are going to have to defend yourself. The police won't even be there anymore. And they're not there to protect life or property. Like I said, they're primarily the cleanup committee. Minneapolis city officials say they will dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department. Reading from a news story here, they told the Minneapolis Star Tribune that plans to dismantle the police department could include reducing law enforcement's jurisdiction over particular cases. The plan would mean that law enforcement officers can only intervene in violent crime cases and community-based services. Let me just stop a second. Okay, we're going to let the police maintain order at the Queer Pride Parade in Minneapolis, the community-based services. And we'll let them in where somebody's getting killed or has been killed, because somebody's got to clean up the blood. Somebody's got to get the evidence, two to collect the evidence while 10 stand around with guns pulled to protect the two that are getting the evidence. But they've gone on to say that the other cases that do not involve violent crime will no longer be handled by law enforcement officers. And instead, those cases would be taken over by social workers. Oh my gosh, run out and get that correspondence degree in sociology. You got a job waiting for you in Minneapolis. So they're not going to be involved in anything other than violent crime cases. So here's the deal. If you're into drugs, if you're into rioting, looting, burglary, child porn, take your pick. There's a world of opportunity that's going to open for you in Minneapolis and probably Seattle and Los Angeles and all the stuck-on-stupid Democrat-controlled cities. Because all the problems are in Democrat cities, folks. The problems are in Democrat cities, all run by Democrats. They have all the problems, they have all the crime, and they think that the answer to the crime problem is to just not report crime. We drop crime by 50% because we're no longer writing tickets for drug paraphernalia, drug smoking, drug trafficking, child porn, rioting, looting, whatever. That's how Democrats solve the problem. They're only cared about getting reelected and looking good. Now listen to this. This is, you think the stupidity ends there? Minneapolis has a violent crime rate of over 8 residents per 1,000. Now this compares to the entire state of 2.2 violent crime victims per 1,000. So these are the bright ding-dongs in Minneapolis are saying that we are going to get rid of the police department for the most part in a city where the violent crime rate is 400%, 400% greater than the state as a whole. And it's probably 1,000% greater or 2,000% greater than rural areas. Because remember, Minneapolis, which is the biggest city, their own crime rate gets calculated into the overall state crime rate. See, I told you I was going to be doing some math here today. So their own hellacious victim rate actually is factored into the lower crime rate for the state as a whole. So it's, without question, much greater than 400%. So they think that the answer to the high crime rate in Minneapolis, which is at a minimum 400% higher than the state as a whole, is to get rid of those who are charged with keeping law and order. Real smart, you whack jobs. LA's looking to do the same thing. Seattle, cities all over. This major move to defund the police. Get your guns, folks. Take a class. Learn how to shoot and fire, because you don't have the cops to protect your property. They never were there to do that. We're going to see in a greater form, greater manifestation, the reasons for the Second Amendment. Now, hard facts. You're not going to like this, but these are the hard facts. This is what I stayed up late for. No, I didn't stay up. I got up early for 2:30 in the morning. I got to buzz through these because I got to get to my biblical conclusion. All right, 12% is the population percentage of blacks in the U.S. Hard facts, folks. Don't get mad at me. I'm just the pizza delivery man here. Everybody listen that's listened to this program for a long any time at all knows how one of my biggest prayers is that we'd have conservative black and Hispanics rise up to help take this country back. I've got two bureau chiefs for Red Sky Radio. They're both black. I got more black friends than probably most any other white. I got more black friends than some blacks have black friends. And it comes down to what? Who are the people of God? I love the people of God. I don't care about the color. And the people are not of God, come in all shapes and stripes and sizes and colors that hate God or Christ haters, Christophobic and bibliophobic, whether they're black or white. Whether they're the looters, which are predominantly black, or whether it's Antifa, which is predominantly white. But these are the hard facts. 50% of all men that are murdered are black. And I'm just going to stick with the men because they occupy the biggest number. 55% of all male murderers in the United States, the murderers, are black. 57% are the victims. 55% are the perpetrators. They comprise 12% of the population overall. Pretty stunning statistic. FBI statistics. Trust me, I got them as early as 2:30 this morning. So we see the main problem here is black on black crime. And before I get to my next point, it needs to be said that this started where? With Democrats. Why do we have where we are with Democrats? LBJ, the great society destroyed the black family. Look, if we can give you enough welfare, if we can just laden you with tchotchkes, make sure that you don't leave the plantation and vote for us, guess what? 50 years ago, the black family consisted in excess of 70% of the cases of a mother and a dad. These crime statistics did not exist 50 years ago. And where are they today? The black whole family is low at 21%. They're growing up without fathers. Should listen to Real Men Radio. I cover this in detail. The state has done this. Now check this thing out. I got to cut through this. Since 2017, how about the people that have been killed by the police? 498 were Hispanic, all right? 518 were black. Just a few more blacks have been killed by police. 1,268 people killed by the police are white. So, if cops are good, then these numbers would be the correct number of people who should have been killed. If the cops are bad, if the cops are racist, then tell me, pray tell, why are there so many white victims? If 50%, 7% of the murdered are black men, 55% of the murderers are black, then why are less than 25% of all dead victims, if you will, of police action are black? Why are well over 50% white? Just do the numbers. The numbers don't lie here. And what does it take to stop this? Who's at fault? I'm right back to where I was. It's the Democratic Party that has destroyed a black family. Walter Williams will tell you that. William Soul will tell you that. They're a former generation, if you will. But we've got the Candace Owens. We got the Officer Tatum. We got all sorts of, we have all sorts of blacks that are rising up like Gideons to speak the word. Most of them are Christians. God bless them for what they have done that have gotten this out. And this is something, you know, Barack Obama never cared about black-on-black crime. Was Jesse Jackson walking through, what, Cleveland late one night? He heard footsteps behind him, and he got the heebie-jeebies, and he said, he turned around, and he told people how relieved he was to find out that it was a white guy. Look, you have this war that's been fomenting in the inner cities. Look, blacks, just like whites, want better schools for their kids. They want safer neighborhoods. They want better jobs where we can get it. The wants and the desires of the good people are all the same, regardless of color. And the negative, evil predispositions, regardless of color, are the people that are lost and have turned to evil. Outright evil are the same. So what does the Bible say about this? Amazing. Look up riots of Christian riots in the Bible. Do you know that every single riot in the Bible was by somebody who hates the gospel? Somebody who was kicking up a stir because the word was being preached? It says in Luke 6, what was that passage here? I don't know. Yeah, it was Luke 6. It says that Jesus healed this man who had the withered hand, right? The left, the Christ haters, they couldn't stand Jesus doing good. And it says in Luke 6, verse 11, it says they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. They commune with madness to see what they can do to Trump. Trump isn't Jesus, but he's trying to do good. And they're stuck on evil. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 to 2, there's a great persecution. By who? Saul. Against who? The Christians. Going into every house, he said, of men and women, committing them to prison. Acts 12, Herod set out to vex the church. In my Bible, it says that Herod was a Democrat. Well, might as well have been. It's the left imposing its anti-God positions on believers. They're Christ haters in authority. Chapter 14 of Acts. They, you know, dragged Paul and Silas throughout the city. There was civil unrest. Against what? The righteousness of the teaching of the Word of God. The riots rose up against the people of God, against honor, against civility. Acts 16. Paul casts a demon out, and it says that the whole city is caught up in a tumult, participating, and it says they don't even know why they were rioting. Ask the rioters why they're rioting. George who? George Jetson? Oh, yeah, George Floyd, that's his name. Acts 19 in Ephesus, they were filled with confusion. They didn't know what was going on. You see, the difference between civil unrest and civil disobedience, legitimate civil disobedience, is that civil unrest always involves an attack on authority. An attack. Looting, arson, rioting, slitting people's throats, killing them. Civil disobedience in the cause of Jesus Christ is simply disobeying for the cause an order by the government to not do something we they are commanded to do, such as preach, or to do something that the government is prohibiting, like having church, Gretchen Wichid Retmer. Wretched Whitmer, did I say that right? You see, civil unrest is not civil disobedience. Civil disobedience is a biblical thing when done for the right reason. Civil unrest and wrecking and burning things, which is the left, the Christ haters, is all against the kingdom of God, the protection of property, our lives, our spouses, everything we hold true and dear. God bless you all. Sit tall on the saddle. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. See you next week.